contending earnestly for the faith. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, and we are always thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We do encourage both your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Well, here we are. We've been considering 2 Timothy chapter 5, where we are warned that in the last days, these perilous times, chapter 4, excuse me, perilous times will come. And then he gave Timothy a solemn charge to preach the word in season and out of season. And we've been working through the importance of that this week, where Timothy was here charged to be ready in season, out of season, when the word is welcomed and when it's not, to use the word, to be ready with the word, to convict with the word, to hold the word high, that all of God's people would be instructed in righteousness. Now that's the charge, that just keep that word in front of you. What I want to focus on is why this is so important today and tomorrow. Paul is not writing this just for Timothy's sake. He's writing this for you, that you would care about this, because all of this becomes a grand encouragement for us to continue in something that is difficult for us to maintain. William Hendrickson says it correctly. Let him speak out while people are still willing to listen, because they will not always be willing to listen. Verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." He says there are times, there are appointed times of distress, and just keep preaching. There will be times when things are good, and there will be times when things are bad, dangerous seasons. Now, this is where we get to what he said here in chapter 4, that we should be ready with the word in season and out of season. In chapter 3, he warned that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving. They're irreconcilable. They slander. They are without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And there we read that they have outwardly a form of godliness. They wear a mask, but they deny its power. Now that's the summary that chapter 3 gave. But then in verse 3 of chapter 4, he warns of the most damaging and destructive epoch that arises in the life of the church. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You're going to come to a time when the truth will not matter. And here's what you can expect. You will undoubtedly face a time in your service in Christ's church when they, those who now listen, will not put up with, they will not bear, they will not accept as valid, they will not listen to sound doctrine. They will have heard it, they will not like it, they will reject it. And Paul says they will want other things. You have to understand how relevant this is. With this great task in Ephesus, Timothy had a lot of pressure on him because the Christian message was just ridiculous to the Romans. I mean, to teach, you know, they put their gods on statues and pillars of marble. So they had these struggles and these questions. How is our church going to be able to survive in this overwhelmingly pagan, hostile culture? How can our little, weak, marginalized church possibly, in any way, have an influence in this overwhelmingly unchristian city? How can we as a church be effective in this kind of environment? Isn't that just what we struggle with today? What we struggle with is verse 4. Listen to this carefully. There's this time coming when they won't endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Did you catch that? Did you catch the real emphasis there? They're craving for new and exciting teachers to come and teach and say things that will please them. Something that will suit their desires. And this comes right out of the Old Testament when Jeremiah complained that Israel was heaping up false teachers who were speaking and prophesying falsely. I've always been shocked by what followed. The prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. And that is characteristic of the most dangerous time period in which in the church faces. Prior to Christ's coming, what will happen? We will get all these teachers who really aren't teaching the truth. They may not be denying the truth, but who are exciting. They're sensational. They're concerned about how the preacher looks, if he's funny, if he's interesting. But most of all, you know what the word here for myths means, or fables? It could be translated fascinating stories. So put it together. The most dangerous season will come when people will not want to hear about their sin and a need for a savior. They will not want to hear about the need for a new birth, for righteousness, judgment, and the things to come, about Christ and his righteousness, but instead, they will want fascinating stories. Does this sound at all remotely familiar? Notice how all the attack is centered around the word. Recently, I received one of our college students' papers from a Christian institution, and the professor basically ridiculed one of our students, assigning a book in this college course called The Day Metallica Went to Church. And the thesis of the book is that God, apart from the Bible, can speak to us through the music of Metallica, Bach, or even the movie Crash, only if we're willing to listen. This pastor writes, Metallica's music embodies God's message of conquering justice. So this author is suggesting that we need to be willing to not let the Bible become a stumbling block to hearing God speak to us by the Spirit through a band like Metallica. He reveals himself everywhere. And he ridiculed our student for her convictions. Now, notice the attack there. The attack is on the word alone. People are looking for God's revelation. They're looking for answers outside of the word. When here it's clear, Christ has told all of us to make sure that the word is the centerpiece in our churches. Just the other night, I got a letter from a good friend and colleague in the ministry who's an ordained Reformed minister, well known, who's defected, and he's denied two things: the doctrines of faith alone, that we're justified by grace through faith alone, and Scripture alone, that the Bible is the only sole authority for faith and life. He writes, I've begun to doubt whether the Bible alone can be said to be our only infallible authority for faith and practice. And despite my efforts and those of others to dispel these doubts, they've only become more pronounced. In my own reading of the New Testament, the believer is never instructed to consult Scripture alone in order to adjudicate disputes or determine matters of doctrine. Regarding sola fide, I become convinced that the teaching that sinners are justified by a once-for-all declaration of acquittal on God's part based on the imputation of Christ's righteousness received by faith alone is not reflective of the teaching of the New Testament. Listen, that's no little shift. That's no little departure. My friend has departed from the Word of God on the crucial and central tenet of the Christian faith, on how a sinner can be right with God and where the source of our authority for faith and practice really lies in the Word of God. You know, I'm almost getting to the point anymore where I'm not surprised at what comes next. This stuff is 2 Timothy 4. The time has come when they're not enduring sound doctrine. There may be ignorance of the truth, but you see, dear listener, when you know the truth, and you leave the truth, and you deny the truth, the difference is that is apostasy. Think of the compromises that have gone on today in the church. You know, we've ordained women to the office of pastor, contrary to the word, to be politically correct. We allow certain practices that go on, homosexuality, to be practiced without repentance, and that is tolerated today. Biblical inerrancy is lost. Basic Bible knowledge is non-existent. And people are ignorant to God's design for the church and what is worship really is. The pressures today are just immense. You know, I was recently asked by a group of Christians about their young people. And they wanted to know, because there's such pressure today about the young people. Everyone's in fear about losing their young people, that they're leaving. And hey, you know, I said, we face all the same problems. Down the street is a smooth cat in designer jeans preaching who's cool and hip, and it's about him and his funny storytelling. And he's not talking about sin. He's not talking about judgment. He's not talking about the cross. He's made things relevant in a postmodern culture, and his stories are down to earth. He's an evolving kind of guy. He's a practical man. As I was asked the question, you know what I was able to say? That what I've experienced in the ministry is one of the most amazing things. A whole bunch of young people who are hungry today for the Word of God, they're tired of the gimmicks. They're tired of their parents' mega churches. And what an encouragement. What an encouragement to those in the church today to just do what we're called to do. If we can say with confidence that the Lord has blessed us with His Word, we don't earn it. It's not based on a pastor. It's not based on the wisdom of the church leaders. The Lord Himself decides to make His church heard. And the blessings that we receive result from the fact that His Word has become the centerpiece in our churches. If we ever lose this, you see, if we ever turn from this, when we lose confidence in the Word of God, and we turn to all these other things, and the centrality of the Word is gone, the church no longer functions as the light that it is called to be in a dark world. We no longer offer anything of real life-changing value. Oh, we continue in our day of worldly consumerism, cheap storytelling, and shallow spirituality, but we've missed the calling that Christ has given to us. I said yesterday, today is a recovery mission. A recovery mission for those Christians who have either defected from the truth or who are spiritually starving and don't realize it. I didn't write 2 Timothy 4. The Holy Spirit did. He's told us that these last days, these perilous times will come, and men will not endure sound doctrine. What's the antidote? Preach the word, love the word, hear the word in season, out of season, for that is the power of God to save those who believe. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.